Good morning. Are you able to hear me? Have I got this turned on correctly in position so you could hear me in the back as well? Can you? Yes? Good. Well, thank you for having me here with you today. It's a pleasure to be here and to be inside this beautiful sanctuary here in this church that does so much for our community. This is the second year now that we've had this pastor swap since I've been here in Columbia. And as Michael said, last year, Pastor Carol was over at Calvary. And people loved her and were delighted to have her. And then I drew the long straw this year, so I got to come here. So I'm pleased to be with you. And I look forward to helping us think together about the meaning of God's Word for our lives this morning and throughout the coming week. Let me invite you to bow your heads in prayer as we invoke God's presence on the words that I'm about to speak. Let us pray. Gracious God, see your people gathered faithfully before you this morning. And take the words that I am about to speak, and through the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, use them, we pray, to speak your word to each of your people gathered, hungry to hear you and to reach out and touch you. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is in all our traditions, I believe, the Easter season. It continues in the Episcopal Church for several weeks, and I imagine that you all are continuing to focus on the presence of the risen Lord and the meaning of Christ's resurrection for your lives as well. And I have chosen readings this morning that are designed to help us to think about how God may be present with us daily and how our experience of God can help us understand the resurrection and take comfort in it and build our lives upon it. I have, wherever I have been, I have engaged in Bible studies. I love to teach and I love to gather with people in small groups like I saw some of you doing this morning, because they're such a good way of really internalizing the Word and making it our own is when we can think about it together in community. So I've enjoyed being a part of such studies. And about 5 years ago now, on a Tuesday morning, early in the morning, I think God's up at that time. We were never quite sure. It was 6:30 when we started, so we had lots of coffee. One of the men in that study, it was a men's group, was telling about a friend of his who had had one of those life-after-life experiences. You know what I'm talking about, right? When someone dies clinically and then comes back to life again, no one is expecting them to do that. But when they, in this person, he said, it's the classic thing, when I died, I went and I saw this light and I heard this voice and I felt this warmth. And he said, I felt it was God. He felt I was entering into God's closer presence. And now I'm back and I'm wondering why I'm back and what God wants to do with me. Have you ever known anyone who's had such an experience? Wouldn't it be life-changing? Or if you haven't known someone who has had that kind of experience, has there been a time in your own life when you would say that somehow God has saved you? Now, I'm looking out at the back here, seeing that thing that says, the verse that says, I'm standing at the door knocking, and that's not the kind of saving that I'm talking about right now. mean, we're here because Jesus is in our hearts, or we're thinking about inviting Jesus into our hearts. But that's not, I'm talking about just literally, has there been a time when God has saved your life? When I had a conversion experience in college, shortly after that, there was a time when I believed God had saved my life. I was racing a bicycle on a Saturday morning. It's something I used to do. And I was in southern Ohio racing down a big hill, and I almost overshot a turn. And it wasn't just an ordinary turn. It was a turn on a cliff. And there wasn't a guardrail. And I could see in my mind's eye, I could visualize in that split second an ambulance coming to pick me up. And I wondered what my parents, who were back in Michigan, would think when they heard the news. I can't tell you today why it was that I didn't overshoot that, because I was sure I was going to. It had a gravel verge, and if you ride bicycles, you know how difficult it is when you hit gravel to keep the thing upright. Has God ever done something for you or someone you know? That story I just told you is nothing compared to the next one I'm going to tell you. I had a friend when I was in Michigan, before we came here to Columbia, I had a friend who was drafted into the Army in the Vietnam years. And his job was to be a paratrooper. Imagine his surprise when he jumped out of the jumped out of the airplane thousands of feet out, pulled the ripcord, and his parachute didn't open the whole way. Imagine his surprise. He probably had 7 or 8 seconds before he was going to hit the ground. I bet his life passed before his eyes, don't you? In fact, he could see the ambulances rushing out from the corners of the landing field to get close to where they thought he was going to land. And he could hear the jump master, as he got closer, on a megaphone, telling him how to try to flatten himself out and spread his arms and manipulate what little chute there was to try to break the fall as much as he could. Somehow, I know him. He's 60 years old now. He walked away from that fall. I don't know how, but I can tell you one thing. Kent, who loved to sing, hardly ever missed a choir rehearsal. No one else might be there, but that had changed his life. And from that point on, he asked himself, why am I here? And what does God's saving action mean for me in my life? Has God ever saved you? Has God ever given you some kind of healing or help that you can look back on? I know many of us pray for healing at different times in our lives, and I know that if healing comes in our lives, it's usually the result of skilled doctors and nurses and the support of friends and family. And it's the result of letting that deep desire for life that God has put in our, it's a result of letting that push itself forward and make us strong. And even then, sometimes we don't get the healing, the physical healing we're looking for. It's just part of the human condition, isn't it? But still, if you ask clergy, and I've done this, if you ask them in the course of your ministry, has there ever been a time when you have prayed for someone and something has happened that you can't explain? Almost every one of them will say, everyone I've ever asked has said, yes. there has been some time when it looks like God himself has reached down and touched someone I have prayed for. Should that surprise us when we hear gospel stories like we heard today? It might have surprised Thomas before the second time Jesus appeared to them, wouldn't it? You see, sometimes I think thinking about these things in our own lives can help us live into these stories that we read in the New Testament. And if you have questions in your head this morning about, can these things really happen? I've heard them, maybe some others have talked about them, but I'm wondering if I could ever experience them myself. Isn't that exactly what Thomas must have felt? Here were the disciples gathered in the room. The doors were locked because they were afraid that the authorities, it wasn't the Jewish people, it was the Jewish leaders who were threatened by this new movement. They were afraid that they would come and punish them as they punished Jesus. And here they were, kind of despondent, but hopeful, in prayer. And Jesus shows up in their midst. Jesus shows up. Thomas wasn't there. Can you understand why he would doubt? Of course. What do you mean Jesus is alive? So Jesus comes and appears again because it was important that doubting Thomas would come to believe. If anyone in the Show Me state can speak to us, it's got to be Thomas, right? The New Testament is full of stories about how Christ, who is alive, appeared to his people. The New Testament, in fact, seems to have been written kind of backwards. The story of Jesus didn't really begin in the apostles' preaching. It didn't really begin with, let me tell you how Jesus was born, or what he did as a teenager. It began with the end of his life. Jesus, whom we hoped would save us, was put to death on a cross. And he was buried. He was put to death as a common criminal or a traitor to the empire. And he was buried. But he is alive. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to the 12. He appeared to James. He appeared to more than 500 at one time, says Paul, most of whom are still alive. So you can check out the story if you want to. You go ask them. And then, as to one untimely born, last of all, he appeared to me and he changed my life. Are you letting your faith in the resurrection change your life? Another Easter story that Michael tells me you have thought about recently is the story about Emmaus. It's a wonderful story, isn't it? The disciples are walking along, two of them, walking along concerned about the events that have happened in Jerusalem, the bad news. And then they're trying to process what they've heard, that Jesus might be alive, and someone comes and joins them and walks along with them. And they don't recognize that it's Jesus. Is it possible that sometimes Jesus is walking with you and you don't recognize him? Have you ever stepped back and said, maybe Jesus was with me all the way? And where is it that they find that it really is Jesus? It's in community, in a small group, in joint fellowship, breaking bread together, right? And their eyes are opened. Easter season is meant, I think, to remind us that Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still risen. Jesus is still strong to save. So how shall we then live? And that's where that first lesson comes in. What we have seen, writes the apostle, what we have heard, what we have reached out and touched with our own hands, this good news, this truth of God's presence, we declare to you because it's too good to keep for ourselves. We want to run out in the middle of Broadway Street and stop traffic and say, listen, we got some news for you. We want you to hear it so that our joy can be complete. And this is the message, that in God there is no moral darkness at all, and there is no hatred or love of wrong. But there is only light and life and love. And the risen Jesus, who someday every tongue will confess, has come to transform this world through the light of his love. And you all are invited to think about God's saving work in your life so that you, like Thomas and Paul and the others, will have the courage to let your light shine and transform the world around you. Oh, don't pretend that we don't have sin or wrong within us. But don't worry too much about that either. Because God knows it. And God loves us anyway. And if you let God transform your life through Jesus, you will be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Behold, says Jesus, I am standing at the door knocking. If you hear my voice, open to me afresh and let my saving power transform and change you, that you may go into this world and preach the gospel and tell the good news that Jesus is still strong to save. Amen.